Hey, I want to welcome you to an historic podcast today, episode number 200. Can you believe 200?
200 episode, and we are on location. You see our setting's a little different. We're doing something a little bit special today.
And we're here, of course, in the brand new sanctuary. We're going to talk about that on our podcast today because this podcast started 4 years ago. None of this was here. It is a testimony of God's goodness in the midst of difficult times.
Amen.
And we're also going to highlight the importance of a biblical worldview.
Yeah,
today.
We're going to go back to the roots and talk about what's the origin, what's the purpose, why are we doing this?
And for all of us, it's exciting. This is 200 podcasts, but we could do 200,000 podcasts because that's how relevant God's word is, and that's how it applies to literally to everything in life. And we're going to reestablish that fact on our podcast today. You will not want to miss this, and we hope it will whet your appetite to be a pursuer of Jesus and a pursuer of God's truth in every arena of God's created world.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Johnson Discipleship Podcast.
We are celebrating today a milestone for this podcast, our 200th episode. And you figure about 50 podcasts a year, so we're looking about 4 years into this, and it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I think if we look back 4 years ago, we would not imagine this. I certainly could not imagine what we have today and where we are today.
So 4 years ago, just to provide a little context to everybody, we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and we were dealing with the realities of stuff that we had never experienced before. Yeah. I mean, basically the government telling us what to do at the church and when to close and what businesses were essential and what were not essential. I mean, it was crazy. And of course, we were not having church at the time, so we had this great idea.
Yeah.
Or someone gave
a little crazy idea at the time. Honestly, you know, I'm not social media savvy, you know, and when Pastor Ron was like, let's do something online that we can engage our people. We can still care for them. People are so disconnected. Let's make sure we're connected somehow.
Yeah, and that was the time we all joke as pastors, we all became televangelists because, you know, I think it's this desire, like, hey, we want to communicate with our people, yeah. and we can't meet, you know, but we still need to be speaking into the culture. We need to be talking about what's going on, and we need to be applying biblical truth and giving people hope. And I've said over the years, you know, if you want to give people hope, you have to give people truth, because you can't have hope unless you are standing with your feet firmly planted on truth. And that's what, you know, the biblical worldview, of course, does. And so we had this larger idea of having a podcast that brought my little catchphrase is bringing lordship to life. In other words, bringing the lordship of Jesus Christ to every aspect of the life around us, including things like, you know, pandemics. And so that's what we did. We started in our foyer, which was brand new at the time. We had pretty much just got that, you know, I-54 is what we called it. Just got that done. We put a table just like this in the foyer, and we just started, you know, bringing God's truth to what was happening in the culture.
Well, I still remember those moments when it was Facebook Live, and to be live and discussing and talking about these for, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes straight. I remember after the podcast, I feel like I just ran a race. You know, I was like, don't say the wrong things. Yeah. You know, don't make a mistake.
It was back in the day of, like, live TV.
Yeah,
right?
It was like, everything is live. So, you know, if I pick my nose, everyone will see it.
Yeah, and I have to just pause right here to say thank you to you, because, you know, this is not our full-time job, right? And a lot of times the podcast, there's an element of we're flying by the seat of our pants. And I remember you saying, you know, Pastor, I am like worn out after this podcast. So thanks for
locking in for 30 minutes, 40
minutes. A lot of
times,
just so you all know, we'll come in with our the notes I have thrown together. And then I'm saying, hey, Andrew, here's what we want to talk about. You have the hardest job. Because you are literally, everything's fresh right at the moment we get together and sit down. So I appreciate.
Well, no, I'm so appreciative of this opportunity. And also just your heart to care and to engage not only our congregation, but our community with these truths. And I remember even when we were coming back to church, a lot of the feedback was like, you know, there was a comfort, there's a connection in these podcasts from our congregation. Yeah. And why stop that? And I was already like, hey, okay, we're done, right? We're going back to church. And you had the vision to say, well, hold up. What if we do it in a different format? So So what was your thinking during that time?
Yes. Well, number one, I knew that whatever we were doing, I wanted to corral you because I appreciated your bright mind and your heart again for God's people and for truth. But it was, and again, we've done 200 podcasts. We could do 2,000 podcasts and never run out of information to talk about, because that's the beauty of a worldview, is it's comprehensive, it speaks to all of life. And I really wanted to say, hey, there's so many things we can talk about. And you know, this is one of my passions. Sometimes the church gets very pigeonholed and we have a very narrow, myopic view of the gospel, right? That it's just about getting people saved and sending them to heaven. And my passion, I guess, because of Christian worldview training, has been, you know what, if the church is not speaking to these issues, like a pandemic, like what does it mean to be essential or non-essential, like what's the role of government, you know, all of these things that we have talked about on this podcast, if the church is not speaking into this, who is? There is no voice in culture that is addressing the contemporary landscape from a biblical, Christ-centered worldview. And I don't want to say no place, but if the church is not doing that, who is?
Well, the government of the realm is not addressing this issue. Largely academics is not addressing this issue, unless they're, you know, a worldview, Christian worldview institution.
Right.
Some are, but most 99% are not.
Yeah, most
entertainment
are.
Is certainly not addressing these issues. And many times these issues aren't addressed in the homes, in the families.
Yeah, and so people are longing for this. And, and we found that there's a hunger in the hearts of people for truth. And I really believe the church should be a thought leader.
It used to be.
Yeah.
As we read through a lot of these book studies, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
The church, scientists, the intellectuals,
pastors,
the philosophers.
Were the ones who were like the nightly news commentators. They were the ones talking about what was happening in the culture and connecting the dots right back to the Bible. And so that's my vision for Living Stones and really for the body of Christ. We should be thought leaders, providing direction, providing answers that make sense, providing a historical perspective, and being hope dealers in our communities because of our Christian worldview. So
well, you make a great point, because you know, you turn on TV, you see these so-called experts. And do we ever stop and ask ourselves the questions, what makes them experts?
Yeah.
Are they deemed experts simply because, you know, some news network called them an expert? Well, are they experts because they have a degree? What makes them an expert, you know? And sometimes they're experts speaking out their own religion, their own worldview, their own philosophy, which I call the zealots of their own religion. Yeah. Who were the advocates for the scriptures, you know?
And that's another great point. All the major mountains of society, including journalism, the major media outlets, they are completely biased in terms of their worldview. In other words, there's not diverse. We just saw this with the NPR radio exposure, where basically a whistleblower came out and said, hey, everybody around here is a progressive Democrat. There are no balanced views.
Yeah.
And again, the progressive Democrats have their right to share their viewpoint. But the problem is, most of our major news media, most of our universities, public universities, the balance of diversity, so to speak, is terrible. I mean, it's completely one-sided. And so there is not a Christian worldview that's being communicated in the idea-shaping institutions of our culture.
Well, you're exactly right, because, you know, when we talk about a certain issue, they're like, well, that's just a religious view. Well, that's just a pastor view. That's just a church view. You know, we're almost marginalized because we're part of a religious institution. And
right.
What I want to say is every single one of us is part of some type of religious institution.
Absolutely.
And but the common conception is because you're a pastor, what you say should not make or should be delegitimized because
right.
of that issue in the self.
Absolutely.
Whereas everyone's speaking from their religious worldview.
And when you equip people with a biblical worldview, you really arm them with the truth that they can show up for the debate and have intelligent things to say. In fact, that worldview should be part of the discussion. And our belief on this podcast from day one has been that, you know what, if you can show us a better worldview that speaks to the issues of life better than our Christian worldview, let us know. We're not trying to waste our lives. We're looking for truth. We're truth seekers. And I still contend that there is nothing that explains the complexity of life in a coherent, you know, comprehensive way than the biblical worldview. And that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why I'm excited to get up every day. And that's why I'm excited about what we get to talk about every day. Now, let's talk a little bit about context, because our viewers have probably picked up the fact that we are not in our studio. It's a little bit bigger studio here.
The cell echo is a little bit different, and the lighting took a little bit longer to adjust.
We're sitting on our brand new stage in our brand new sanctuary, and I want to thank our producer, Matthew McCaig, for doing a lot of hard work to get this set up.
Also, Colin Crombie.
Colin Crombie, absolutely. We appreciate you guys. Right behind us is going to be a brand new set of seats, bleacher seats that's been put up. And we're going to be putting carpeting in here in the next few weeks. But here's what's amazing. When we started this podcast, none of this was in the works. I mean, that just shows you how radically faithful God is. I mean, the podcast started in a difficult time for all of us. We're sitting in an empty foyer. I remember Easter of that year. We were so excited. We had all these great plans, and then basically we're like, "All right, maybe we should put a little pause on the."
We were throwing T-shirts in people's trunks.
Yeah. They would drive by under, and we couldn't go near, and we had to just throw the T-shirts in. Yeah. And anyway, and then we decided, hey, let's make the most out of it. So it was a rough time.
Yeah, for everybody.
And here we are sitting, you know, in a brand new sanctuary. We're getting ready, as you all know, at the end of July to have our first service in here and dedicate it. But it's just a reminder to me that if we move ahead in faith, right? If we communicate hope to people, if we communicate a God-centered view of reality and encourage people to trust God, look what God can do. And of course, since then we've seen a quadrupling or even more in the number of people who call Livingstones home. We've seen this project spring up, and I'm just amazed. We were in awe of the Lord this is our 200th podcast. What God can do in 4 short years to turn a devastating situation into a great blessing.
I was I came a little earlier, and I was sitting in one of these new chairs, very comfortable, by the way. And I was looking at the stage. I was trying to talk to Matt. I was like, "Hey, Matt, how's it going down there?" And I just had this moment, just like, wow, man, like 4 years ago, if you told us where we'll be here today, like I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah.
And often in the middle of our struggles, we have a hard time looking 4 years back. Mm-hmm. Now, 4 years is a long time. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if we have that hope, if we have that vision, and if we vigorously and violently align ourselves with God's will, not our own plan, mm-hmm. not our own ambition, but align ourselves with His will, His plan for His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. I mean, I just felt the Lord says, yes, keep aligning with me. My kingdom, everything we're preaching here, my kingdom will never end. My kingdom will never cease. Even in seemingly defeats, I win.
Yeah.
I'm the ultimate winner. My kingdom will never end. Align yourself with me, and I will show you the things I will do. I mean, this is a manifestation to me of His faithfulness, His glory, His power, His wisdom. Now, this 4 year hasn't necessarily been easy. Yeah.
And I just want to say that, you know, we don't get to control the headlines, right? I mean, there are many things we don't control, but we do control our response to the headlines. Yeah. And I think what we've tried to say on this podcast is just remind people that Jesus is Lord. That means He's large and in charge, right? We can look at the headlines, but He's Lord of history. History is His story. And so when we look to Him in faith and we trust Him and we keep moving in obedience and confidence, God can take the headlines and turn them into something amazing. God can take a crisis situation and turn it into the biggest blessing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we've done. So I just want to say thank you to all of you who have been part of the journey for the last 200 episodes. We've talked about a lot of important things. And even sitting in this building, I'm humbled because this building is the physical manifestation of a whole lot of people's obedience to the Lord and willingness to invest in the vision and believe God and join us, you know, as we've been trying to provide answers and help and solutions to the struggles that people are dealing with. So praise the Lord. And again, I'm just still in awe of what He's done. Let's transition just a little bit back to kind of the nature of this podcast. Really what we're trumpeting is the fact that every believer should take incredible confidence in the Word of God and in the worldview that emerges from the Word of God. And as you know, when I was doing my doctorate, this was my... if there's one area where I've read lots of books, maybe more than the average person, it's on biblical worldview, because of the power of a worldview to change your life and to change the world. And I wanted just to talk a little bit about, again, the why behind this podcast. You know, when I'm a little bit different, I think, than most people. Some people grew up in a church that was very heady and teaching apologetics and, you know, all these things. I grew up in a Holy Spirit, you know, move of God. In other words, I knew, I had a lot of experience with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And it wasn't until I went off to a Christian university, a Taylor University. I want to give some shout outs to my roots. And I especially want to thank one of my mentors, Dr. Mark Cosgrove, who introduced me initially to this concept of biblical worldview, that all truth is God's truth, and that the world in which we live in, every aspect of it, Jesus, you know, puts the flag down and declares that it belongs to Him. That blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always just knew of Jesus in your heart, and the idea that Jesus is Lord of all of reality was just a new concept to me, and it was liberating. It was like mind-blowing. I remember coming out of my classes, and that was when I had met my future wife, Marion, and I would say, "Hon, I can't believe what I learned in class today." It was just so, I was almost like intoxicatingly good, you know, just realizing that the faith that I had was not just some personal, private little thing for me on Sunday, that it was a faith that filled the whole cosmos. I mean, that's just crazy. It took this little church Jesus and just exploded the size and the scope of what the gospel really claims to express, you know, and claim authority over. So I just want to talk a little bit about the philosophical benefits, the theological benefits, and spiritual benefits of a Christian worldview this morning. And first of all, the philosophical benefits. Every single person looks for truth, and they want the world to make sense. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. There's four things that every worldview must address. Number one is reason. Is it reasonable? Number two is reality. Does it fit reality? What you believe should fit reality, right? Number three is breadth. In other words, is it comprehensive? Does it explain all of life? And then the fourth point is practice. In other words, can you live what your worldview says is true? And for Christianity to be able to stand toe-to-toe with every other worldview, and you pointed out, every other worldview is essentially religious in nature. And so when you can't say, well, you Christians need to be quiet because you're just being religious. No, everybody has a worldview, and everybody's worldview is religious. And so the point of a Christian worldview is, from a philosophical standpoint, is we can stand toe-to-toe with any ideology in the culture around us, and be able to say, hey, you know what? We've got some answers to this. In fact, our answers are better than yours. Mm-hmm. That means there's intellectual coherence, there's validity, there's truth. It fits all of these points. It's reasonable, it fits the world around us, it's livable, and it's comprehensive. You know, in some of our earlier podcasts, we said every worldview has to answer four inescapable questions. Origins, how did all this get here? Meaning, what's the point of all this? Morality, how should we live? And destiny, where is it going?
Yeah.
And so I just want to say to especially every listener, but especially the younger generation, if you're looking to wrap your brain around something that's true, you'll find nothing more true, you know, than the Christian worldview. It is a philosophical worldview that can stand toe-to-toe with any of the other ideologies in our culture today.
Yeah. And my story is parallels yours. You know, I grew up in a small, also a pastor's kid. I grew up in a small ethnic church, and in these ethnic communities, churches, the Christianity, the expression of Christianity, is kind of like the expression of our ethnic community. It's kind of within. It's enclosed. It's not going out, and it's kind of reserved to weekends and Sundays.
Yep.
And growing up in that culture, there's something in me that says this doesn't quite make sense. Because if what we're saying is true, the expression of this is not really, it shouldn't be this way. Something's right. different. But right. I didn't really know what was different because I was never modeled what was different
right.
until I was introduced to biblical worldview.
Right. So you show up at church on Sunday because that's what good people do, and you're a Christian, and yep. so you go to worship, and you're a pastor's kid, so you're definitely in every service yep. that's going on. But like you pointed out, what's the connection between what we're doing here on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you're traditional, three nights a week, right, or 3 days a week? Why? Like, are we just placeholding until we die and go to heaven, or like, what's the purpose of that?
Well, the epitome is, first of all, you go to church, you don't do bad things, you know,
right?
You don't swear, you don't sleep around, you don't, you know, get addicted to drugs, you know,
yeah,
those
yeah.
things. You go to church, you have a nice job, kind of keep to yourself, and that's life. That's the epitome of, you know, the Christian living. And deep in my gut, I was like, well, those are good things, but there's so much more, right? But I don't know what that more is
yeah.
until I get introduced to biblical worldview and says, wow, the Bible speaks to science, speaks to government, right. speaks to academics, speaks to work. And that blew my mind. I was like, oh, that's the pearl of great price, right? That's the kingdom of God that we've been talking about, the Bible talks about.
That's good. I came across a wonderful quote when I was doing all the research for my dissertation, from a guy named David Noggle, and he says this, and it kind of refers to what you're talking about. The notion of worldview has a mysterious way of opening up the parameters of the Bible so that believers might be delivered from a fishbowl-sized Christianity into an oceanic perspective of faith. And I think this perfectly describes what you and I were both yeah. alluding to regarding our church experience. You know, you go to church and you're like the little goldfish in the fishbowl. And you're like, okay, I'm a fish, I'm in the water, but it's kind of a tight little fishbowl here yeah. of whatever our church culture is. And it seems like I was made for more. And then all of a sudden, someone puts the fishbowl on a windowsill overlooking the ocean. And the fish goes, wait a minute, you know, maybe I wasn't meant to be living in this
yeah.
fishbowl. Maybe I was meant to be living in that incredibly huge ocean of life. And that's what biblical worldview does. It blows up the fishbowl, and it launches you into the entire scope of reality that this God created universe, and you realize that there's literally nothing off limits. And there's nothing that anybody could say, well, you know, you guys don't belong touching that issue or belonging to that issue or speaking to that issue because you're Christians, and you know, we don't think Christians should get outside the fishbowl. And all of a sudden you realize just what you said. No, Jesus is Lord over everything. And it fills you with an incredible sense of mission and purpose.
And I'll extend that analogy a little bit. I think some people in their church culture or Christianity culture is that they're that fishbowl, and their prayer is that the big ocean, the big bad wave of oceans will never contaminate our small fishbowl, because they're always playing defense right. and they're victims.
There's something comforting about the safety of that
safety,
tiny little
fishbowl. But we don't want to extend out there, and we certainly have no impact over there. So our best bet is to defend ourselves from that. Whereas I feel like the Lord has actually called us to say, no, actually engage and take over the ocean, because that is right. my dominion and you guys are my regents
yeah.
to go and reign and rule in that big, bad, scary ocean. But that's actually my world and that's my territory.
Yeah.
And be my regents to that.
So before we would have a sacred secular dualism, yeah. we talked about that. The ocean was secular. The fishbowl was sacred,
yeah.
and Jesus only belonged in the fishbowl. And what's liberating is realizing that all of life is sacred. All truth, wherever it's found, is God's truth. And that is exciting, because what it means is, and we've got into a lot of these topics over the last 200 episodes, it means that if all of life is sacred, then you don't have to be a pastor to embrace the call of God. You can be a successful marketplace leader, a successful governmental leader, an educator, a scientist, and do what you do for the glory of God, because all of life belongs to the Lord and all of life is sacred.
In fact, that's our commission.
Right.
That's the expectation God has given all his followers, is to take dominion, to take over, to do business till he comes back.
Absolutely. So there's no bits and pieces.
Yeah.
There's no little compartments. There's no fragments. What Christianity does is it gives us this big, massive worldview that says it all belongs to Jesus.
Yeah, and it's an incredibly empowering and victorious message. We're not victims of doom and gloom. We are His ambassadors to become to carry His message, yeah, and to reign and rule, but not through coercion or force, but through influence, through, yeah, love, through caring for people, through setting good examples. And that's, yeah, why people don't understand those. So they think we're trying to force it. Yeah. No, we're trying to love and care and put things in order, you know, and that is the kingdom message.
And everywhere the gospel goes, in spite of the call, you know, calls that we're being colonialists and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everywhere the gospel has gone, the principles of the gospel elevate people. They lift people. It brings economic blessing and prosperity, prosperity relationally, prosperity in health. In every way, the gospel liberates people. And so that's been the thrust behind the whole missionary movement and the fulfilling of the Great Commission. In fact, when we talk about theological benefits about the lordship of Jesus overall, it leads us to what I want to talk about here. Lastly, is the spiritual benefits. The gospel transforms individuals, and then individuals transform nations and communities. And so the beauty of the gospel is once you and I have experienced the Lord, right, we can't keep Him to ourselves. It's going to spill over, and we're going to start loving other people. We're going to start bringing the good news of the gospel to every dimension of life. And that's why Christians have been the world leaders in health and science and inventions that bring blessing to people and make life easier, right? Get rid of the dreariness of labor and all of that. So it just lifts wherever it's gone. Transform people, transform culture. And on a personal level, you and I, we want to know, like, what's the meaning of life? Why am I here? And the beautiful thing about a Christian worldview is it puts us in the larger story of God's redemption. And we get to see what He's doing, and then we find our place within His story, which is an incredible, you know, in a world where people are killing themselves, young people killing themselves. Life doesn't have any purpose or meaning. The Christian worldview says, no, your life is incredibly valuable. You're unique. You're special. God made you. You're one of a kind. But the world does not stop with you. You're part of a larger, yeah, story. And you get invited into that story. And you have a significant role to play in that story.
Well, this is an excellent point. Just this morning, I had some discussion with some marketplace people about the prevalence of fatalism in our young people. When I say young, I mean like 40 and below. I don't even mean that young. We're getting up there. But anyways, but fatalism, which leads to, like you said, a lot of suicides, yeah, depression. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm prevalence of trauma and just this sense of depression and doom and gloom. And narcissism, yep, let's put that in there. So what's the remedy to all that? Is this prevalent sense of victorious ideology that God is in control and He's ushering His kingdom. But not only is there overarching picture of this grand view of God's move on earth today, that He loves us so much that He wants each one of us to take an important role in His kingdom. Amen. So it's about us because He loves us so much, but it's not about us because we're about His kingdom.
It's a beautiful balance, isn't it?
It's a beautiful balance.
It doesn't say you're meaningless. The big picture is all that matters. And it also doesn't say you're the center of reality because that's idolatrous and we're not. It's a beautiful balance. And that's what I love again about the biblical worldview is the balance of it all. I mean, in everything we would talk about, there's balance. And it just makes sense. I think of some of the books we've covered, you know, over time, you know, we talked about the sexual crisis is happening now with the gender confusion. And I mean, this is contemporary stuff. And yet we go back and there's biblical foundations that explain the balance about genders and about being made in the image of God. And how about some of the things we take for granted, like human rights and all these things, and where those ideas come from, you know? And as we pointed out in previous podcasts, which I encourage people, go back if you're a new listener to our podcast, there's a treasure trove of material that we've covered that just, again, it brings such beautiful balance to life. And it just goes, this makes sense. We're not swinging on a pendulum, right, from one reaction to another, which is generally how human history unfolds. Yeah. I love, too, the twin mandates. You know, you start with Genesis, and you see that God created the planet, and then He said to Adam and Eve, now take dominion, multiply, fill the earth. take the raw material of this planet and begin to develop it. And so the whole foundation for science and for the arts and everything else right there in Genesis, and that applies to everybody. We all take part in that dominion mandate. And then you get to the New Testament, the Great Commission, that the gospel is to be preached everywhere we go, but not just the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah. In other words, everything about life needs to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I guess what I realized very quickly was the tame version, that Jesus only belongs in Sunday school with little old ladies and little kids, and he only is Lord of the human heart, and really he's irrelevant until human history ends and Jesus returns. All of that is a very tame gospel, but when you preach the true gospel, it really is dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, because the ramifications of the true gospel, like you said, it turns the world upside down. And it causes little power-hungry idolaters, it causes them to freak out because are you really, you know, now we get blamed to be Christian nationalists. Are you really saying that Jesus is king over all? Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
that's what we're saying. Wow, the ramifications of that are crazy, earth-shaking. Yeah. And that's what I love about the gospel, is I don't want to invest my life in something that's tame. I want to invest my life in something that has the power to transform and shake up things, and that declares with boldness the greatness of who Jesus is. And I guess, you know, one of the quotes, and I'm going to give him the paraphrase version of it, but one of the quotes I've always loved was that, you know, basically if everything that God says about himself is true, you know, that he's the creator, he's the redeemer, he's Lord of all, then the logical consequence is I must submit my life to this God, and I must worship him and honor him, and I should be living for his glory. That's the logical consequence of a Christian worldview is, wow, if all this that we just said is true, then I must personally have a response to that. And my personal response is, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, be the Lord and be the King of my life, and Lord, help me understand who I am and who you created me to be, because I want to max out my life for your glory and for your kingdom and for your purposes. I want my life to matter, and I want my life to count for you. And ever since I got that, it was like, this is literally like Romans chapter 12 says, this is our reasonable service, right? To lay our lives down for the cause of Christ and his kingdom. It is the reasonable thing to do. And ever since I've gotten this, it messed me up so much that it has so transformed my life. It's impacted our ministry at Living Stones. We just don't preach a gospel of salvation. You're our pastor over the marketplace. We're trying to see men and women who are business owners and marketplace folks understand the radical implications of bringing Christ and his kingdom into their business. We have two homeschool groups that meet in our building every week. We understand the power of education and why education should be Christ-centered, whether it's economics, law, public policy, like I said, homeschool, marriage and family. I mean, there's literally nothing that Jesus doesn't say, oh yeah, I'm Lord. I'm Lord over that too.
Yeah.
And so the full scope of our ministry, and that's why anybody watching, if you want to know what Living Stones is about, it's really about an understanding that Jesus claims to be Lord of all. And so we really should not just be preaching a narrow, myopic gospel. We should be talking about everything, because he's the creator of everything.
Yeah. Our slogan is, when Jesus said he's Lord of all, we take him seriously.
Exactly. Like, he is Lord of all.
We actually believe him at his word. He was not messing around when he actually says that. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. We actually believe that.
Yeah, and to me, it's incredibly exciting again, because there's no end to what we could talk about it. Yeah. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, first of all, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your feedback. It means a lot to us. And let me just mention, you know, Matthew sent out a video this week saying, hey, it's our 200 podcast, we're celebrating, and there were a number of you that responded, and we take those responses seriously. And at some point, I think we'll address some of those topics maybe in weeks to come. We just didn't feel like some of the things that were brought up maybe needed to be addressed on our 200th podcast. But here's the beauty of it. we can address really any question about anything because Jesus is Lord of it. That's what's exciting. So thank you guys for being with us on the journey.
Yeah.
And we're not going anywhere.
No, we're just getting started. But I want to thank you for, first of all, pushing this, champion this vision, and then also pushing us and me to read all these books. I look back and I have grown so much and learned so much. My mind has changed from reading and studying, and some of these books are foundational blocks to how I live right now. I mean, I think you and I both have a passion to not just talk about worldview, but to apply them in our everyday lives, apply them in my kids' life, in my marriage, in my workspace, because I want to test to see, is this real? Is this good? And we can say, yes, this is real. This is applicable. This is not just theory. Yeah. These books have been amazing to change our life. So if you want to rock your life, just follow through our podcast and read those same books, because they will change you.
And just so you all know, since this isn't our full-time job for either one of us, it really has helped to use a great book as a jumping off place. And so that's part of the method to our madness, as well as we have instant content that we can actually talk about. And so next week, we're going to pick up on an amazing book we've been working our way through, The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. And what's crazy is the very thing that we're talking about right now from that book is probably one of the most culturally relevant issues, the whole issue of transgenderism and all of that. And what we're finding is the Bible has already addressed these things, which is exciting to me. And so I want to encourage you. We're going to be picking up on that. It also lets me give a shameless plug for a new sermon series that we're going to be starting at Living Stones in 2 weeks called Men and Women in Christ. And it's going to be a really great series to go back and kind of talk about, again, God's pattern for men, God's pattern for women, how we're to flow and function together. We're going to talk about marriage and family and a lot of these things that have just been attacked. You know, basically, I'll say this in closing. What we're witnessing in the culture wars is a collision of worldviews. They're ideological battles that are fought in courtrooms and in schools and universities and curriculum battles and all these things. But they're worldviews. They're collisions of worldviews. And so we're going to start unpackaging more and more, so that the goal is that you would be equipped to be able to go, oh, that's what's going on. Oh, I can understand where they're coming from here. And what's the Christian response to this? So we really do want to equip you for that. So how about if we, it's podcast 200. What do you say we pray?
Yeah,
and commit our time and our future to the Lord, and just pray that He would use this podcast in great ways. Lord, thanks for our listeners. Thanks for the amazing content. Most of all, thank you for you. Thank you for the hope that we have because of truth. And Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Help us to proclaim that with great joy, with great biblical accuracy. And Lord, use this podcast in the future to be a great blessing to many, many people. We thank you again for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. We're sitting in a brand new sanctuary that we're ready to dedicate. Thank you for the journey that we've been on. Lord, it's all a testimony of your goodness and kindness and faithfulness. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise, both now and forevermore. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. We love you. We'll look forward to seeing you next Thursday.